Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Hallelujah, welcome to Women. This is Pastor Rebecca Simmons, joined by my co-host on today, and it's a blessing and an honor for us to be with you on today. God is good and worthy to be praised. There's none like him. Oh, there's none like him, and I worship him today. Ah, God is so good. He's just so good, and he's so worthy. He is so worthy to be praised, and I just magnify his name on today. Amen. I want to welcome you all. I want to welcome you all, old listeners and new listeners who are joining us to Women with Pastor Rebecca Simmons, and I'm joined by my co-host, Tina Michelle Borsico, as well as Prophetess Angie Singletary. And we come every Thursday, Women to Women, Real Talk with the Ladies, where we will be sharing with you on different topics according to what the Holy Spirit will send into our spirits to share with you on today. So we believe in prayer. We want to welcome you to come into the chat room. The chat room is open. And also later on, we ask that you call and talk with us. Talk with us, share with us on the topics that the Lord will bring to the table on today. We believe in prayer, so let us pray. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Father God, we praise your holy name. Lord, we worship you. You are worthy, God. You are so worthy to be praised, and yet will we praise you, God. Yet will we magnify your name. We give you the glory, the honor, and the praise just because of who you are. We thank you, and we worship you, and we praise you, and we magnify your name, Lord. We worship you today. We love you today. Oh, God, we cry out to you today, Lord. Oh, we reach out to you today, God. Hallelujah. As a deer panteth for the water, so our souls are panting after you, God. We just need to be in the fellowship of our sisters, God. Iron sharpening iron, God. We just need to be dwelling together in perfect unity, Lord, as it is pleasing unto you, Lord. We just need to encourage each other, Father God, and forsake not the assembling together of ourselves as we come together here on internet radio, right here on Blog Talk Radio, God. We ask that you bless this time that we spend together. Bless every listener, God. Bless their businesses, their homes, their ministry, their finances, their children, God, their families, Lord, their marriages, God. Bless, God. Bless, you know what, each and every woman, each and every man that may tune in are standing in need of. And right now, in the name of Jesus, we are gathered together praying in the name of Jesus that your blessing shall overtake those to whom will come and partake with us on today. So, Lord, we love you. We bless your name. We praise you. We glorify you. It's about you. It's all about you, Father. It's all about you, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Holy Ghost, come on in. Come and dwell with us, and let us magnify the name of our Father who art in heaven. So, Lord, we love you today. We pray healing, salvation, deliverance, liberation in the name of Jesus over the lives of those who will come and listen to the live broadcast, those who will listen to the archives. Word our mouths, God, let the meditations of our hearts and the words of our mouths be acceptable to you, Lord. So we give this time to you, and we pray in the matchless name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Good morning. Good afternoon, Tina Michelle.
How are you?
I am doing really, really good. How are you today?
Oh, I'm just like sort of wiping the sleepies out of my eyes. It's one of those days where I stayed up all night writing.
Uh-huh.
And woke up and got my kids moving and sat on the couch to finish writing out my stuff for my assistant and passed out.
Wow. Wow.
And I said, Lord, I needed that sleep. I woke up about 30 minutes ago and said, oh, it's time for power and work.
Wow. Praise God. Praise God. So you're busy.
Woman. Yeah, it's been very momentous. You know how you have those seasons where it just keeps moving, and then you have those seasons where you're just sort of slow. And lately, I mean, literally for the past 6 months, I've been going, wow, it's really moving. But it's been a blessing because God is all in it. Because I feel very refreshed. I don't feel stressed about it. It's just sometimes I fall asleep.
Well, we need sleep. We do need sleep. So that's a good thing that you are getting your sleep. And sometimes we're on different clocks. We're on different schedules. Some of us are working the midnight hour, so we sleep during the day. Some of us don't go to bed until late, so we catch up and we can sleep late. So it's a blessing that you're able to sleep late. Did the children have school, or did you get them up and out and come back?
Oh, I got them up. Yeah, they get up at 5, so I was up with them and slept for maybe 2 hours. I was up with them at 5, got them situated. They both decided that they wanted to bring lunch and they wanted something in particular that I make for them. So I made them their lunch and their breakfast. I got them on the bus at 6:45 in the morning. And I was going through my task list and organizing my day and pass out.
Wow. And, you know, it's amazing that women, we as women, can do so much. You know, we are able to bring home the bacon and fry it up in the pan and never let our husband forget he's a man. You know, we are able to just multitask, and we're able to take care of our families and our children and to run our businesses and our ministries and to even go to a 9-to-5 and not miss a beat. You know, we are, you know, God, when God created woman, he just outdid himself.
He
just outdid himself, and it's a blessing. It's a blessing to be a woman. And LaShawn Myers says, yes, she said, it's a pleasure to be back, and she sends her greetings, grace and peace, and
Amen.
She says that she's at work today, you know, and even we get time to go to work and take time off for us. We have to take time off for ourselves as women.
Yes, and it's beautiful when you can. I mean, Monday I made myself a personal retreat.
Wow.
And it was just gorgeous. I didn't really plan. I just said I was going to take some time to do some of the things I want to do with myself when the kids go. And I have this wonderful friend named Paula, dynamic woman of God. We ended up putting the phone on speaker and praying and reading the Word and watching each other in the Word and standing in an agreement with each other around our businesses, around the ministries. And it was a personal retreat. I felt so refreshed and invigorated to have that time. And we realized that even if we took an hour out of the week just to do that with each other, you know, just speak to each other, speak into each other's lives and really encourage each other in that way, that would just serve us so well.
Yeah.
So we decided that. And she's actually thinking about coming to the conference in October. She's trying to work her speaking schedule so she lands on this side of the country to come, because I keep saying,
amen.
You got me, Pastor Rebecca. She's just like us. She's just like us, girl.
Amen. Praise
God. Woman
Praise
of God.
God.
So she's
Praise
thinking
God.
About it.
Wow. I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to meeting her. And the women's conference, I'm glad that you brought it up. It's coming up really fast. You know, we're looking forward to our 3rd annual women's conference. For those of you who are not familiar with what's going on in the ministry, but New Creation Christian Ministries in Elizabeth, New Jersey is the church where my husband and I are blessed to pastor over. And we're coming up on our 3rd annual women's conference where we will be getting together as women. This year's theme is God's leading lady, and it's just so apropos for what we're talking about on today, that we are all God's leading ladies. God is no respecter of persons, and he loves women. God loves women. I know that God loves women because he didn't just pick up some dirt and create us from the dirt. He didn't just mold us and shape us from the dirt. He opened up the heart, the side of man, and took us, took out the rib, and created us out of that rib. So he just took very special care when he created women, and he created us wonderful. I love being a woman. Love being a woman.
I had a conversation early yesterday morning with one of my clients, and she said, tell me about this thing that you do, this diva flow. And I said, it's about the Proverbs 31 woman. And Paula and I stayed on that Proverbs 31 woman for hours, just praying it into our lives. And that chick right there, the Proverbs 31 woman, we decided that was a bad chick.
Yeah. Yeah.
She was bad. She was bad. She is a true diva. She is
yeah.
a true diva. And to be able to just look at that scripture was awesome, to really get a fresh look at it, at what God saw as the good thing, was just a powerful, powerful study for us.
Amen. Now, Tina, give me your definition of diva, because I know the world uses that word differently than we use it.
Yeah, well, diva, the way the Lord dropped it to, in my spirit, for the divas that I work with, because I consider all my female clients divas, they're divinely inspired and voraciously audacious.
Mm.
Audacious.
Amen.
And I, voracious, not voracious.
I like
voracious.
That.
Because it's truth. Veracity or veritas is truth. So we're audacious about the truth. We're bold about it because we're divinely inspired. No one gave it to us. God did.
Yes, exactly. And I want to, did I welcome people from the chat room? I want to welcome JoJo Love and Mindy BTR. I also want to welcome LaShawn Myers, who's back with us on today. And she is the author of A Time to Heal. I think I got the name of her book correct. Did I? Tina, do you remember?
I believe it is A Time to Heal.
Yes. And she has an awesome, awesome book where we are actually going to, we talked about that on last week, about getting rid of the pain of the past, where we have to totally get healed from the pain of the past. And LaShawn and I both have books of healing about that. And on my book, The Cry of a Woman's Heart, you'll be able to see that on the profile page. Healing the Pain of the Past, Traveling the Road to Victorious Living is a powerful, powerful tool for healing. And when you get healed, then it's time for you to take center stage and be God's leading lady. So I was finishing. I want to finish and tell people about the conference. It is October the 10th, the 11th, and the 12th. October the 10th, the 11th, and the 12th. And I'm taking registration right now on our website at nccmonline.org. You want to be there if you can fly. Tina, your friend is coming from where?
She's going to be coming in from Atlanta, and then
we're
going to get another girlfriend of ours to come in from Huntsville, Huntsville, Alabama. These are God's women, ladies. I mean, Paula Washington is someone I've been wanting to introduce you to, which I'm going to, but she owns a global international ministry called Wise Women Speaks that's off the chain.
Yeah.
And then Deborah McCrary, who she owns a physical training company, a beauty company, but she calls it Beauty for Ashes because how God worked with her when she went through a bad time when her husband died. So these are women. These are women of substance and truth and true divas, and I thank God for them just wanting to even come because I keep saying, you need to come. You need to come. I want to come. I'm going to go. Why don't we just get a room all together and just keep inviting people like us and just come and just come and drink. Because we're always serving. We're always ministering. We just need to come and drink.
Yeah, that's a good word right there. But we need to come and partake of what the Lord has prepared for us. And some people sometimes say we have no need for another conference, but I beg to differ. Because, look, we're out here working in the harvest field. Most of us are doing ministry. And speaking of ministry, I want to say hello to Prophetess Singletary and also Minister Angie in the chat room. And Prophetess Singletary will be on the line with us soon. But we're so busy out here doing ministry, and we're pouring out. But like you said, Tina, we have to take time to be poured into. We have to take time to be replenished. There's a time when we need to come together as women, and that's why we do what we do here on a weekly basis, where we can come together as women and talk about real-life issues pertaining to life today from a Christian woman's viewpoint, because we don't look at things the same way that the world looks at things, nor do we look at things the same way that our Christian brothers, the men, look at things. So we want to set some time aside for ourselves to encourage each other in the Lord, and that's why I'm so grateful for this time here on Blog Talk Radio, as well as for the upcoming conference that the Lord leads me to give. Everybody comes out of there refreshed. Everybody comes out restored, reinvigorated, re-empowered, you know, ready to go and take the world by storm, to go and do the ministry, to do the work that the Lord has called us to do. And it's a wonderful thing to come somewhere where you know the love of God dwells, where the power of God rests, and you can be empowered for your purpose.
Yes.
That's why I'm so excited. Not because I'm giving it, is that not because I'm hosting, but because God is getting ready to move in the lives of so many of the women that will be sent this way, the women that will obey the call to come.
You know, I came out, you know what I came out with that from that conference, the most important thing that I got? I got the restoration of my soul. That was important. But it was really important that I came out with hearing from God and getting clear answers. I was able to hear clearly from all the women who were speaking and praying. It was like we designed it that way, or like you designed it, set it up, because the message was on. It was word upon word, precept upon precept. Everybody had the same type of voice. And we knew it was not planned that way. You didn't plan it that way. God just moved and ministered in that way that it became one conversation. And so the clarity that I came out with was amazing.
And that's the I'm typing something in the chat room. Minister Angie is having problems hearing us, so I'm just typing that she has to refresh because I usually – oh, she did. Amen. Praise God. So she just did. Yes, and that's an awesome testimony, Tina. And I see Prophetess in the chat room. I believe I did just see Prophetess in the chat room. Prophetess, we don't have you on the switchboard, so I don't know if you're having a problem calling in. Let me know something, because I know you had a conference call at work, another dedicated woman of God who is joining us from work, and you were having some delay in getting here. So I'm looking forward to having you come on board with us, Prophetess. She's one of our co-hosts, Prophetess Singletary. And I did see you earlier, but then you flashed out. So try calling back in. Tina, have you been watching TV today?
No, not at all.
Okay.
What's going on?
Or when you signed on to your internet. Well, we know that is 9/11. It's September the 11th, and we're 7 years into the anniversary of 9/11, of 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
And I went up to Montclair to pick up my mail from my office up there, and they were having a memorial. So I walked up. I didn't know what was going on. I walked up to one of the ladies there, and I said, "What's going on?" And she was crying. She was crying so much that it broke my heart. She said, "We're having a memorial here for the people in the community who lost their lives on September the 11th. And I just got so sad when I looked at her and I looked at the people around me and I looked at how people are still suffering 7 years later after this very tragic event for our country. I don't know what your take on that is, because you're in New York, right?
Yes, yes. Well, in my little town, this little town that I live in, Otisville, New York, so if you hear a loud noise, they keep blowing a town horn.
Hello.
Prophetess, we have you on the air. Prophetess?
God bless you.
God bless you. Is this Prophetess Singletary?
No, this is Minister Angie. I didn't know I was on live. You can mute me. I can't seem to listen to you online, so I called the phone.
Okay, God bless you, women of God. And I do want to hear from you, so I will be coming back to you, okay?
Okay.
Okay, Tina, go ahead. I thought that was Prophetess Singletary trying to call in.
So they're doing different services around us, and I think maybe when I thought about it this morning, because I just pray and reflect on it, I was very impacted by 9/11 myself. That, you know, it sort of hit me that, wow, today is 9/11. So there's a lot of people doing different things today, you know, mourning that whole tragedy that happened in New York, and, you know, I've had friends and relatives and family members that were sort of stuck in and came back home with ashes of humans on them, you know.
On that day. They came back from the city.
They came back, and I worked in the DNA testing centers as a volunteer, just, you know, helping the people to identify their loved ones.
What I want to ask you, and anybody who cares to share, is it healthy for us to year after year, you know, commemorate this day? Is it something that's healthy to take this day to mourn for those who were lost in this tragic event 7 years ago? Is it healthy for people to do this?
From a biblical perspective, we know that the Bible says, let the dead bury its dead and move forward. There are some people who are just stuck there because it was very tragic. And I think the position that I've taken is that when I see them stuck there, if I can be a light and help them see something in their future worth moving forward for, then I will do that. For my children, I was focused on gratitude. Gratitude that we're together as a family. Gratitude that we've been safe here, praying for our leaders, you know, making sure they understand what their responsibility is as little children of God, what they can do, because they're going to hear it a lot in school today. You know, that they can pray and pray for those who mourn, but just be grateful for your life. Be grateful for what God has done and that you have time to keep growing and developing as blessings. So I don't think it's healthy when we get stuck on anything. I think that's some of the stuff that we've been talking about for you the past few weeks, right, on the show.
Yeah.
Sort of letting those things which are behind us, forgetting those things which are behind us, reaching towards those things which are before us, and press.
Amen.
You know,
amen.
Press towards the mark. But some people do need the help. They need the help. And if you're surrounded by people who are mourning and grieving, if you don't hear anything different, you won't know to do something different.
Mm. Because
you said that last week, they need a preacher. How will they know without a preacher?
Yeah. Because I that's the answer then, that this is their solace. This is where people who lost loved ones find solace, where they're getting their healing. I believe that if they're not in church and if they're not under the word, if they don't have Jesus, that this is their way of saying, this is what we have to hold on to. And I know some people who lost people personally in that building, in those buildings. And they had a funeral at our church where we were attending before we became pastors. And it was just a very celebrative but sad event, because we rejoice in the homegoing of those who leave here. When we die, when we leave this earth, we know that it's not over for us, because God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whomsoever would believe on him will have life eternally. So we have eternal life through Christ Jesus. By the same token, it's always a tragedy when life has to be cut off at such a sudden rate, or at such an early age for people, or such an unexpected time. Like, you go to work and you expect to come home to your family, but then you don't come home, and that's what I think people are having a hard time grasping and dealing with, the fact that they're relatives, their loved ones, their husbands, their wives, their children, their parents did not come home.
Yes. I mean, I had in my situation, Gerald, who's always on time for work, you know, that day decided to be late. He didn't know why he was late. Somebody
and where
told
did he
him.
Work?
He worked right near the buildings, right near, you know, the World Trade. And my best friend's husband, at the same token, missed a meeting that would have put him in Tower 2 with the mayor, because he's a director of audio and video for New York City.
Wow.
So both of these gentlemen, and Beverly and I were on the phone praying, because we pray together every Tuesday with a bunch of women on the phone. At that time, it was in the morning, and we're looking at the TV, and we're going, is this Independence Day? No, this is really happening. This is really happening. And we were both chirping our husbands, trying to locate them. Now, if Gerald did not get on the phone that morning, which he never does, he's military, he's on time, that's an on-time man. If he did not get on the phone at that time, he would have caught the right bus, he would have missed it by 20 minutes. The planes went over his head on the New Jersey side.
Wow.
He would have been in the middle of that. If Shelley, Beverly's husband, did not miss that meeting because he had to take a sick day with his daughter, he would have been in Tower 1 from 7:30 in the morning and died with the rest
wow.
of his team.
Yeah. So God protected them, and God does protect those whom he loves. So we have to know that we are really under the divine care of the Father. God is our protector, and he protected them. Now, however, if somebody may argue, well, there were Christians that did not get out. But, again, they got out because they're with the Lord. You know, I believe that they were caught up there, right, in heaven with God. That's my belief. Absent from the body is present with the Lord.
With God. Mm-hmm.
And we're just blessed to be able to look back on this day with gratitude that we're still here, but also with mourning with those who mourn, I guess, to say, I feel for them, but I'm glad that I'm still here, and I'm glad that I'm not alone, that I have Jesus. I'm glad that my loved ones that made it out, made it out. So it's just a very surreal type thing for me, and I'm like, God, people are mourning, and you turn on your TV, and it's there every single year, and maybe LaShawn can help us with this because she is a licensed social worker, because at what point can we keep revisiting the pain and expect to be healed? That's what I'm saying. Can I keep going back? Because it's like you're forced to cry because everybody is crying. Everybody is weeping and wailing, and nobody's rejoicing. People are pretty sad today. So can I expect to be this day? It's just like my sister passed away last year on June the 2nd. Can I every year on June the 2nd stop and memorialize the fact that she's gone and be sad about it? Or do I go through the grieving process and be okay with saying, okay, God has healed me from the grievance of my heart, and now I can move on? Mm-hmm. That's what we've been talking about, that we have to at some point allow God to heal the pain of the past. We can't stay stuck in that pain, is what I'm saying. Not that I don't feel for the people that lost loved ones so many years ago. Not that I don't feel for people who have had to be divorced and people who have had to bury their children on other occasions. But God wants to heal us. We have to be whole. We have to be healed. We have to be loose so that we can walk in the power that God has for us to do the work. There's still work to do, and we can't be caught like Lot's wife looking back at what was. But like you said, Tina, we have to continue like Paul to press forward, to forget those things which are behind once we've been healed. Not that we'll ever forget our loved ones, but to forget those things which are behind and press forward towards the goal for which we have been called heavenward in Christ Jesus. God wants us healed, because if that's the case, then we'll look at the fact that maybe we were raped or molested, or maybe we had an abortion, and I want to talk about that Roe versus Wade thing too, or maybe we had an abortion, or maybe we were just a strippers, go-go dancers, prostitutes, and get stuck right there in that moment. I don't know if it's a fair comparison, Tina.
Well, these are things, I mean, one thing that's the same about every person is that we're human beings and we feel. So whatever the circumstances are around the pain, it's still pain.
Yeah.
So, you know, one thing I always tell people, you know, when I'm speaking to them, especially when during that time of 9/11 when it was fresh, I was operating as a crisis counselor because that's, I'm also a licensed crisis counselor, and just dealing with all the grief. I mean, it was overwhelming for me, you know, to have it all in front of me. But there's one thing we used to help them with is go ahead and mourn.
Yeah.
Just mourn. You know,
yes.
People are going to want you to be strong. People are going to want to do this. Mourn, but there's going to come a time when you can be able to say, I'm mourning, now I will live.
Amen.
Life.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Prophetess Singletary is with us, and I believe she was supposed to be in New York on that day also. Prophetess, God bless you. Good afternoon. I have to unmute you. God bless you. Good afternoon, Prophetess.
God bless you.
It's
been quite a morning. I'm here.
Amen.
And I work in the area of 9/11. Came in this morning with mixed emotions and everything because I was at work on that day.
Oh, you were?
I was at work.
Okay.
And I had just gotten to work and not even having a clue as to what was going on. I had gotten a call from my sister first, and she was watching the news, and she happened to call me to see if I had heard anything going on, and I didn't from within where I was sitting. I was in a closed area, so I didn't know if there were no windows or anything. So second call I got was from my son's dad, and he called and said he's watching the news and some planes hit.
Wow.
And I'm inside the building, so I said, well, let me get up and kind of see what's going on and see if I see anybody that can kind of tell me anything. And as I stepped out of that office, they were directing the people down the stairs. Now, what happens is the way that I would come into the office, I had just started sharing my time between New York and New Jersey, and I just started commuting to New York and had just gotten off the PATH train. I would come up through the World Trade Center and to walk right over to the World Financial Center. That's where my building was and still is standing, but everything else around it is down.
Wow.
So I had just gotten through the building that came down. We made it out and everything. They escorted everyone out via the stairs. I was on the 8th floor at that time in the World Financial Center.
Yes.
And when I got outside, you know, I looked up. It was a beautiful day. I looked up, and I could see the plane hanging out of the building.
My God.
And when I saw that and see the debris hitting the ground, my first instinct was to keep moving. And that particular day, I left my cell phone home by accident and the whole nine. But, you know, God gave me a peace on that day. I started walking, and I ran into a gentleman that I knew, and I said, you know, hey, I just started commuting over here. They shut down the PATH, and I'm trying to figure out a way, you know, to make it back to New Jersey. So he said, well, what you can do, you can take the ferry. First time taking the ferry and everything. And as we were walking, people were scrambling. Some people were standing there just watching what was happening, but my first instinct was to keep moving, and I knew it was God. So I went and got over to the ferry, and God had connected me with this woman, and I'll always say it until today. She was an angel sent by God because I had nobody else with me but God, but he connected me with this woman, and we got on the ferry together, and we saw some people that had gotten injured, you know, people with their skin hanging off their face and just people that had been hurt. So we got on the ferry, got over to the other side into Jersey City, and as we began to walk, we were trying to get to phones and everything to kind of call our loved ones and let them know that we were okay. No phones, no services were going through.
Yes.
Everybody scrambling, trying to reach out to their loved ones to kind of at least let them know, hey, I'm okay. So we're walking and walking, trying to get to a phone, and we happened to hear the people start screaming. When I turned around, I could see the first tower coming down, literally.
My God.
I could
my
see
God.
The tower coming down, and I said, oh, my God, what is happening? So, you know, keep walking. We kept walking. Within the next few minutes, I hear people screaming again, the second tower coming down. But God allowed me to get to the other side. You're talking about somebody that was grateful, and that was just a day. I'll never forget it, but I never want that experience again. I never want it again. It took me hours. I couldn't even get home. Everything was shut down. All you could hear was fire alarms, the fire trucks, police, the ambulance, everybody trying to get in to kind of help, you know, with everything that was going on because everything was chaotic. But to God be the glory, he let me get out, and I didn't get home until that evening. God made a way for a gentleman to come and pick me and that young lady up and to get us to Newark, New Jersey.
Yes.
And I was so grateful because, you know, when I got home, all I could, I bust out and started crying, thanking God, praising God, and my family was hugging on me and kissing me. And I tell you, it was just an ordeal.
Wow.
It was an ordeal.
So when the building came down, were you on the ferry?
I was already in New Jersey, Jersey City, on the grounds, on the other side.
You were on the other side.
Yes, yes.
Wow, wow.
You know,
wow.
Like I said, some people, they stood there and they were watching, but the instinct that God gave me was to go. And I kept moving. I didn't know where I was going, but he kept me moving. And it's funny because God allowed me and that young lady. I don't know her, didn't know her. She didn't know me, but he allowed us to connect during that time to comfort each other.
Yes.
And I never heard or saw from that woman again, and I know it was an angel.
My God. My God. Now, prophetess, did you lose anybody in the buildings?
Not our particular buildings, but the buildings were connected to the financial center that's still standing today.
So World Financial Center was connected to the World Trade Center?
I had to get through the Trade Center to get to my building.
My God. My God. And so how do you feel? Did you hear when I asked the question about the memorializing of the bombing of the buildings, of the bombings of the buildings?
No.
Do you feel that is healthy, that is something that we should be, I don't know if we should be determined if we should be, but do you feel like it's something that you would want to do year after year, to just take this time to mourn and be sad on this day?
You know, you have mixed emotions about it because people lost, direct family members in it, so they need some sense of comfort, to kind of remember their loved one that did not know, they didn't have a clue that they wouldn't be coming back home that day.
Yes.
They had no idea. So this is something I feel like, they feel like they have to hold on to because they don't have anything else outside of those that might be believers in Christ and know, that they do have hope. Even 7 years later, they still have hope, and they know where their loved one is.
Yeah, so they should keep doing it as long as they need to.
Then. Yeah, I believe people feel a sense of relief because they're still doing it. And this, I was watching the news, and this one man said, this is all we have. So, I'm glad that they do it.
Wow. That's something. And the Lord spared your life.
Yes,
you
did.
Oh. Because your building, you got out of your building.
I got out.
Now, were you covered with did you get the ashes? People were coming out of there covered with ashes.
I didn't have anything on me when I left. I didn't have anything. Like I said, when I looked up and I saw that plane, I knew it wasn't right, and God told me to go. And I kept it moving. You talking about somebody's feet were hurting, but I guess what? I didn't even care.
Yeah.
I left computer, everything. I wasn't taking no thought for nothing. I just left.
Yeah.
Because I didn't even know what was going on.
Yeah. Yeah, they said that it's the worst attack on the United States since Pearl Harbor.
Wow.
So,
it's just deep. It just even, I still have to take the path to come into work because I work down in Manhattan. And just the train coming through that area, the big open area, they have the flags. It's a little, it's depressing.
Yeah.
But I thank God for knowing whom I believe in.
Amen.
7 years later, you have those, you might have a moment for a second, and then you bounce back. Like, wow, I'm so grateful that he brought me out.
Yes,
so basically what you're saying is that your reminder is there because you still work in New York.
It's every day. That
every
is true.
Every single day, ground zero. You're there every single day.
I have to
day.
Go right through it, right in the middle of it, because the train, the way the route of the train, it goes through there.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And that's the last stop for me. So.
Well, but Prophetess, there are some people listening who are mourning from that tragic event. Do you have anything, words of encouragement that you can speak to them? Anyone who may need to just be encouraged on this day.
Yes, it's a sad occasion, but a joyous one as well. Just to know that you have a relationship with God, and you may have lost a loved one, or a family member, or friend, or whatever. It's just a blessing to know that God, even if you were one of the ones that was in the midst of everything, God kept you.
Yeah.
So you still have a constant reminder. You have a when I think. Sometimes God has to give us a when I think praise. When I think about 7 years ago, when I could have been taken out of here, when my family members were crying and not knowing what was going on with me, and for them to see me to ride up in a car with my life, with nothing broken,
hallelujah,
no ashes, no anything, that's something to praise God about.
Hallelujah. Yeah.
That's a praise report within itself. So, like I said, the question was, should we continue to, memorialize and do these things? Sometimes this is what people need. They need a when I think praise.
Yes.
Your mind it might drift back, but God will bring you back to the forefront and let you know you're blessed.
Yes, yes.
You are blessed and highly favored. And I tell you, God took me spiritually to another level after that ordeal, Oh, yes, he did. Yes, he did.
Wow.
He shifted, you know, he shifted me to another place.
Mm.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Yes, he did.
Yeah, and Mrs. Dana Neal is saying not just 911, but Hurricane Katrina.
Yes,
And the tsunami and everything else that has happened, because there have been tragedies.
Yes.
There have been tragedies in our lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
But like you said, when we think of the fact that it passed over us.
Amen.
Because we're
Amen.
Covered by the blood.
Yes.
Amen. When it passed over us, and that's not being inconsiderate or about people who did suffer through,
mm-hmm.
but when they think that you're still here,
yeah,
you know, we're still here, which makes it even more important for us as women of God to be on purpose for God.
Yes, yes.
That's right. It's such an awesome gift. It's a gift.
Yes. This is scripture. Go ahead, Tina.
I was just going to say it's a gift that every day, you don't want to memorialize the tragedy and death, but we're just grateful because even those songs that we hear of old, like Tremaine Hawkins used to say, he used to sing, "A Wonderful Change Has Come Over Me."
Yes.
The part that where she says, "I'm not what I used to be."
Mm-hmm.
"I may not be what I could be, but I'm not the same, Tremaine, because through God I'm changed."
Yes.
You know, you could just raise your hands and just thank God that all those near misses, but I have a gift of life today.
Yes,
that
hallelujah.
To glorify the Lord with all my heart, mind, and soul.
Amen.
Because I am here.
Yeah, and there's a scripture that comes to mind that the Lord put on my heart earlier, the 1 Corinthians 10:13. The King James Version says, "There have no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape.
Amen.
That ye may be able to bear it."
Amen.
You're coming through this. Some people, you listening to me, you've been through some hard times. And if the truth were to be told, you're right in the middle of some hard times right now. But we, the women of God, are here to encourage you to keep on pressing forward. Keep on keeping on with the Lord. God is faithful. He says, "I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I'm always with you." God is faithful.
Yes.
He will not suffer you to be tempted, to be tried, to be persecuted above that which you are able to withstand. And he is so faithful that with that temptation he has already made a way to escape.
Amen.
So when you think you've had enough, when you think you can't take it anymore, reach out for God.
Amen.
Hold on to God's unchanging hand.
Yes.
And God's going to pull you right up out of that mess. He's going
Amen.
To pull you out, I guarantee you.
Amen.
God's going to pull you up, out, and over. He's
Hallelujah.
Bringing you through.
Amen.
Somebody needs to hear this word today. God is bringing you through. It could have been 911. It could have been Katrina. It could have been Gustav or tsunami, whatever it is, a war, if you had to serve over in this war that's going on for the past 7 years, whatever it is that you have found yourself facing, know that your God is faithful and he has his eye on you. He's
Amen.
Going to bring you through. Amen.
Hallelujah.
God's going to bring you through. Amen. Hallelujah.
And, you know, it doesn't have to be a big catastrophic global event to get a person into a place of feeling hopeless.
Amen.
Yes.
It may not be Katrina. It might be, I don't know which way my child is going today.
Right. Yes.
And I don't know which way my marriage is going today. I don't know if God is really hearing my prayer. I feel alone. Those things have the same impact because it brings a hopelessness sometimes.
Right.
But we know Jesus Christ is the hope of glory.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Amen.
There doesn't have to be an event of global proportions. Because your world, by whatever you're going through right now, is being rocked.
Yeah.
Amen. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And yet will we praise him.
Oh,
yet
yeah.
Yet will we magnify
Hallelujah.
His name.
Yes.
Yet will we glorify his name.
Yes.
He's
yes.
worthy.
Hallelujah.
Oh, he's worthy to be
yes,
praised.
Yes, he is.
Yeah,
yes.
You got to have a, what did you say?
A when I think.
My God.
Yes.
My
yes.
God.
I expect to hear the organist play right now. Right now. She said that when I think about Jesus and all he's done for me.
Hallelujah.
I can dance. I mean, when she said that, she told me about her feet hurting. I said, I'm sure her family looked at those shoes.
Honey, come on now. Hallelujah. Yes,
gospel of peace. that my sister, my daughter, my wife, my mother is home today.
Yes, yes.
Hallelujah.
I tell
didn't
you.
Know that testimony. I didn't know
Amen.
Your whole. I knew you had you were over there, but
mm-hmm.
I never took the time to listen
yes.
to your full testimony.
I don't think
I
shared. I don't think I got a chance to share it, but there you have it.
Mm.
Hallelujah.
Mm.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I believe that the Lord knows what he's doing. I believe that he still has a plan.
Amen.
You know, America, we're going to bow eventually. America is going to have to bow.
Yes.
We're going to have to bow to the one true God, the God of our salvation, the God who created us. We're going to have to come back to God as a country,
mm-hmm.
or worse can happen.
Jesus.
I'm not going to say worse will happen, but or worse can happen
mm-hmm.
if we. Well, the Bible says worse will happen.
Jesus.
If we don't turn, that worse mm-hmm. will happen because the end times are upon us. And I want to just say, keep your eyes on Jesus and stay on purpose for God. We can always look at the glass as half empty. We can always look at the tragedies in the world and how bad things are. But it's so important for us to remember that there's a greater purpose,
yeah.
that there's a greater plan, that there's a greater victory. There's a greater victory in Christ Jesus.
Oh, yeah.
And prophetess, I see your life and I see your ministry.
Mm.
And I say hallelujah.
Amen.
To the Lord
you.
Our God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Because you are a true woman of God. I don't meet many women that I can say that about. But I can say that watching your ministry and watching your walk, that you have a heart after God. You are a woman who wants to do and desires to do his will. And from what I see, you are a woman who serves him well. I mean, I don't go home with you, but I can see in the spirit, I just sense that you love the Lord with all of your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength. And, you know, and it's a blessing to know women like you. It
Amen.
Really is a blessing. And I don't just say that because I'm your pastor, because you're my left hand. But I say that because this is what I see when I look upon your life. So I just thank God for your life today and that he brought you out. And he brought
Amen.
You out alive to
Amen.
Tell about it.
Amen.
With your skin still intact. My God.
Amen.
Yes. My God. I just
That's
thank God for you today.
That's a memorial. That's a whole different type of memorial service. I think about the Corinthian soldier in the Bible, right? And he said, you know, I need to get to Jesus. That my child needs to be healed, right? I think that's the one whose daughter who died. And then the statement that was made about him, that your life has made a memorial for you, for me to do this thing. Because he said, I'm not Jewish. I'm not of the commonwealth, right?
Yeah.
I'm a Roman soldier. So I will wait for Jesus to have time to speak to me because he understood authority. He understood the order of things.
Yes.
He knew that when he spoke to a person and told them to do this thing, they do that. He said, nevertheless, at your word, I know it will be done.
Yes, my
God. But he said there was a memorial made for him. So that's a different type of memorial. It's a memorial of his good works and the things that he has done.
Yeah.
So that God would even hear him, though he was not part of the commonwealth of Israel by birthright. So when I think about what we're talking about with the prophetess here, there's a different type of memorial service that we could even participate in right now.
Amen, amen.
Which is celebrating the when I think.
Yeah. Every time I hear that, I just want to jump. I want to shout. I want to get up and run around because it's a when I think. When we think, and prophetess, you were in church last night when I gave my testimony
yes,
of
yes.
my foot being broken 3 years ago. And then I went through my sister going home to be with the Lord last year and something else this year. And I'm like, God, you know, it's amazing how he continually allows things to occur in our lives, but they don't come to break us. They come
Amen.
To make us better.
Hallelujah.
They come to break us down.
Yeah.
God says a broken and a contrite spirit. That's what I'm looking for.
And I tell
so,
you.
So that's what I can use. So God can't use us puffed up with pride thinking,
that's right.
oh, I got this. I can do this. I can swoon the crowds. I can
Hallelujah.
Make people jump and shout and holler. I can
mm-hmm.
touch
mm-hmm.
people and have them fall out under the spirit.
Jesus.
Or I can push people down with however way we want. To do it, or I could prophesy, or I could preach the pain off the walls, or sing better than anybody else in the choir. You know, all of this competition stuff and all of this pride stuff, God says, I need to get rid of that because I can't use any of that. I can't use any of that because that's the flesh. And God just
and
really wants
love.
Us to be broken down. You
amen.
Know what I'm talking about,
amen.
Tina,
amen.
And
amen.
Prophetess.
Yes,
we have to
yes.
be broken down. Well, we got to go through something.
Yes, yes.
Like, oh, God.
Well, I love the way Paul said it. Paul broke it down. He said, I can speak with the tongues of angels and prophesy and have the gifts, but if I have not love, then my voice, that sound, is just like broken glass. It don't mean anything. And I really believe the litmus test for God and in our spiritual walk is our love. Our love. Because people have all these giftings and they flow and they're thinking they're rocking the room and they're moving the crowd, but really they have mistaken the power to minister for the power to live.
Yeah.
Because it's the love that of God that keeps us. It's the love of God that feeds the people around us. It's the love of God that saved us.
Amen.
Hey. When we miss that, you get puffed up in yourself because you think it's the love of yourself. It's the love of money. It's the pride of life, the pride of knowledge, that type of influence, those things that come before the fall. And I've seen it, and I've been tempted with it. Because I tried to mask my pain with excellence and productivity.
Mm-hmm.
I tried to do myself out of my pain.
All right.
Be in the Word. Be God's daughter. I tried
Hallelujah.
To do this and do that to mask it up, make myself feel better.
Mm-hmm.
Buy this. Get this car. Get this shirt. Get this, you know, Rolex. None of that doing did anything about the fact that my being was broken.
Right, right.
So then
wow.
I said, who do I need to get away from this pain?
Mm.
And I felt like the Lord said to me, you need to be my daughter.
My God.
And what that means. And you need to shut it down, shut everything, all the many voices, because there are many voices, there's many talk shows, there's many opinions. But the Lord said, I love you with an everlasting love.
Yes. Ah, God
now
is just so good.
This love and healed.
I tell you, I'm between crying and laughing and just loving on God right now. So
Amen.
Y'all excuse me, I tell you.
Amen.
I feel the same
Amen.
Way. I'm still waiting to hear
Hallelujah.
That choir director go, when I think about the goodness of what he's, I'm waiting to hear dance on the
Yeah.
I hear it.
And I will dance off of that. I'm a dancer preacher. I will dance off of that in a minute. I want to welcome everybody to the chat room. We have been a little bit selfish. I can't believe it's only 7 minutes in the broadcast. I can't believe it's only 7 minutes. I want to welcome Kalayabora, Ty V, if I have mispronounced it, I'm sorry, I apologize, and also To Be Enlightened. So Kalayabora, Ty V, I welcome you, we welcome you, and To Be Enlightened, we welcome you. We only have 7 minutes. If anybody wants to call in, we will take your call.
Amen.
We will take your call, and it's 646-652-4832. If anybody wants to extend, you let me know, and I will push the button, and we will keep talking. I think I want to extend because I
Amen.
I still wanted to talk about.
Somebody might want to share something.
Yeah, we might have somebody. We don't want to miss anybody
yeah.
today because I think we should be here today for
Amen.
The people that
Amen.
Are feeling a little discouraged today
Amen.
So that they can call in. Call
Hallelujah.
In 646-652-4832. And I also want to make a commercial announcement while I'm extending. Prophetess, go ahead and do our commercial and let people know about our women's conference that's coming up.
Amen. Praise the Lord, everybody. In light of everything that we're discussing today, God is certainly good. And we just want to announce that New Creation Christian Ministries, where our very fine pastor, Pastor Rebecca Simmons, we will be hosting our third annual Christian Women of Power Conference. And the theme this year is God's Leading Lady. So if you're feeling a little low in spirit, if you're feeling a little down, if you feel like you've missed your purpose, you have no hope, God wants you to know that you are one of His leading ladies. And we will be hosting this wonderful conference on Friday, October 10th, Saturday, October 11th, and also concluding on Sunday, October 12th. You do not want to miss this wonderful event. Our pastor, Pastor Simmons, Pastor Rebecca, she's going to be kicking off our conference on that Friday night beginning at 7:30 p.m. We're going to have our Dr. Melrose Bethea. She's going to be conducting a workshop for us on that Saturday, and we're starting out at 9:30 a.m. with registration, continental breakfast. We will also be having a hot lunch on that day, Dr. Melrose Bethea. She's going to be conducting a wonderful workshop on that morning. And then myself, Prophetess Angie Singletary, I will be preaching on that Saturday afternoon. And Pastor will be closing out our conference on that Sunday, the 12th. I attended this conference on last year. This is around about the time that I started going to the ministry, and God tremendously blessed us, and he moved. He had his way, and he encouraged the lives of so many women. And also, our sister Tina Michelle, she was one of our workshop speakers on last year, and she, she presented a wonderful presentation to the women of God, and we were certainly blessed. So come on out. We are located at 87 First Street in the city of Elizabeth, New Jersey, and we would love to have you to come out and fellowship with us. The registration fee is only $25. Amen. So we'd love to have you to come out, you know, those that are near, those that are far. Seek the Lord, praise God. You will not be disappointed. Amen.
Amen. And I want to give one more commercial. My husband, Pastor Anthony Simmons, is the overseer of this ministry.
Amen.
He is just an awesome man of God. And on tomorrow at 7:30 p.m., he will be meeting with the men in a men's-only service. No women allowed, but just the men will be getting together, and they are going to be having a time in the Lord. Pastor Emily has a word for the men.
Yes,
so
he does. Hallelujah.
If you have a man in the New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, Baltimore area, or anywhere in this vicinity, you want to tell them to come on over. It's worth the trip. It's worth
amen,
the trip.
Amen.
To New Creation Christian Ministries, 87 First Street, and that's at 7:30 p.m. on tomorrow night. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Thank God.
Amen.
Tina, did you say something?
I said, are you streaming that?
We are not streaming. We are not, because I'm not allowed to be there. I'm the technology.
No women allowed.
I'm the technology person, so,
yeah.
Well, I'm one of them. I do have a technology team, but they're girls, too. They're women,
yes.
Too. Tara is
amen.
One of our technology. She's the head of our technology ministry.
Yes.
And also Kayla, my
yes.
daughter.
Yes, amen.
They're head of the technology ministry, but they can't be there either.
Wow,
so.
How are we going to do that? How can that be done? Wow.
Let's Pastor Anthony just snuck in, so let's ask him and see if we can.
That would be wonderful.
And stream, Pastor Anthony.
Yes.
God bless you, honey.
God bless.
God bless you, Pastor.
God bless you.
Bless you,
Prophetess.
Bless you.
God bless you, Tina.
We were just talking about your men's only service on tomorrow, and We're here at Woman to Woman, and we know that there's an importance for the man of God to come up during this particular era of life that we're in. We wanted to know if we could stream. Can the women come just to record? Will you make an exception for that or what?
No, we can't make any exceptions there. Because your faith has to be in a place, and the men are. And sometimes when men get together, we just got to keep it amongst the men. And you never know how God's going to move.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes. Yeah. And the men are going to get together and talk about some things that I don't even think we want to hear as
amen.
Women.
Amen.
So let them come together. And Pastor Anthony, you're the man. You'll be in position to minister, and I'm sure that they're going to be ministering also, because I think you're opening up for testimonies.
Amen. We're going to have testimonies. We're going to have roundtable discussions. We're going to have candid conversations.
Amen.
You know how that term, they say, keep it real. So
mm-hmm.
we're going to do a lot of that. And a lot of healing is going to take place. I just sense in God that men just need to be encouraged in this season.
Amen.
You know, we're losing so many of our younger generation, but it is the men who are in their 30s, 40s, who have experienced divorce, loss of jobs, lost their way in life, and some have been a bit discouraged. I get the phone calls all the time. So it's just one of those things where we need to focus in on men, because God has called men to a divine position in the earth realm, and we really need men to get in position and take their rightful places as God continues to make this transition for his glory.
Yeah.
So I know the Lord is going to minister to the men directly, young boys and older men as well.
Yes, and one more question, Pastor Anthony, because I know you don't like to be on Woman to Woman, but I'm glad you took a few minutes to be with us. Mrs. Dana Neal is saying that they have done it at their church with just the women, and the men need help too, and a listening ear, because too often we don't have any programs for our men. The church has really been focusing on the women. Pastor Anthony, can you help the women that are listening live and via archive? Help us today. How can we make our men better?
I mean, one thing is, I mean, men need respect. And then respect comes in so many different forms. But, if you have a husband, sometimes wives, with all due respect, we have the tendency to sometimes go or fly off the handle. And a lot of men, a lot of brothers are doing the best that they can. And sometimes when they feel inadequate or fall short, they beat themselves up because we have this thing called pride and ego, which is unexplainable. It's an emotion that a lot of men have trouble with. And most men have trouble processing their feelings and emotions. They don't know how to channel that, nor express their thoughts into words to try to communicate with the women in their lives. So a lot of men, one, have trouble expressing themselves, and two, they don't know how to handle this thing called emotion. Mm-hmm. I mean, men, we're rough. We're physical. Everything we do is based on contact. So it's one of those things where men think differently and we react differently. But for those who have a glimpse of, what God wants in a man, because we are called to be warriors and leaders, it's one of those things that a woman got to step back and say, okay, I know certain characteristics that I just know. It's in the Bible. It's through knowledge that I know, why he's operating like this, why he's prideful, why he's feeling just in a cold right now. And let me process and put my emotions and feelings down, which sometimes drive me, and try to see where he's coming from, enter into his world, and see how to, interact with him in this moment, where he is. Because when a man loses his job, or he's thinking about tuition, or he's thinking that he's not recovering his wife and children, and he's been married for a season, and they did not advance as far as their finances and where they thought they would be, men tend to beat themselves up. And that's why in a lot of cases men run. And then you have the other dynamic where a lot of men just never learned how to be men. The fatherlessness in our nation and in our homes. In my household, my mother was the head of household. So it's one of those things where men have to learn how to be men, they have to learn how to become fathers, they have to learn how to lead their home, and women, all you can do is be patient and try to understand and pray to God to give you wisdom and understanding how to address your man in any given situation.
Amen.
Especially those tough areas in marriages, because it's the men that are, oftentimes running and finding themselves out there messing around with Delilah or just go into other things, trying to find some kind of acceptance. And it's one of those things that men are learning how to process, but it's a slow transition, but it is happening because it has happened to me.
Amen. And for the women, one more question, I'm going to let you go. For the women who are not married, what's a good way to be a wife that's waiting for her husband to find her?
The qualities of an awesome woman is God.
Amen.
Amen.
I can't put it any simpler than
Amen.
That.
Hallelujah.
If you're a godly woman, you have such an advantage over so many women out here who are looking for husbands.
Amen.
Because I know a lot of good brothers, and they're just looking for a solid woman who's ready to grow in Christ and have a spiritual home with the foundation being that of Jesus. And then we really can live the kind of life and have the kind of success that we all are longing and looking for.
Amen.
It's right there in Matthew 7. If we build our houses on the foundation of Christ and his word, trust me, it will last not only during this recession or hard times, but it will last until eternity.
Amen. Praise God. Well, thank you, honey, so much for calling in and joining us today. And I'm going to put you on mute so you can continue to listen unless you have something else that you wanted to share.
No, I was actually enjoying that. I work out in Hoboken, and I'm very close to that event as well. And I'm actually enjoying the program today. It's very enlightening, and it's very encouraging.
Amen. Okay. Thank you. God bless you.
God bless you.
God bless.
Love you, baby.
Amen. Love you, too.
Okay. All right. Praise the Lord.
You guys are my heroes. Love you, baby.
Now, aren't they sweet? I tell you, they just compliment each other so well, and they know I say it all the time.
Oh,
I tell
you. Oh, stop it.
Beautiful dance. It's just so gorgeous. Pastor Rebecca, I'd like to share something just in light of what we just spoke about, if I have your permission.
Yeah, did I open up the phone lines? Let me open up the phone line, 646-652-4832. You can call in and speak with us if the Lord drops anything on your spirit. If you need prayer or if you have a question for us or a comment, just feel free to call in. Go ahead, Tina.
Well, basically, we were talking about men, and he said the first thing that men really need is respect. And when a while ago, I think I told you, the Lord dropped a poem on my heart in reference to men.
Yes.
Right? Especially to the black men in my life. And I would like to just share it as a point of empowerment and encouragement for the men who may be listening. Is
Amen.
That okay with you?
Amen.
Okay.
Praise God.
And it's basically about us as women seeing them and respecting them and honoring them and understanding them. Because I hear a lot of men that I coach and counsel, they say that she just does not get me.
Mm.
She just does not get me. So here it goes. It's called An Open Letter to My Black Man. My love, hear my heart. Listen to this. I look into your eyes and I view centuries of pain. You are divinely framed. You are intricately designed. Can you hear the cry of this black woman's mind? Phenomenal. By nature, prophet, king, priest, a masterpiece, a divine creature. You are exquisite in every sense of the word. Centuries of brokenness is in your soul. Beaten down, misunderstood, mistreated, misappropriated, forced to fight a battle that is not your own. A gladiator, put into an arena of boundaries, shackled by mental bondage, but yet your brilliance is boundless, a beauty to behold. Thrown on a stage of spectators to scoff at you, jeer at you, but they fear you because they will never be you. So will you let me in as woman so I can love you? Yes, I can, because I am you. So hear this. I look into your eyes and I feel the cry of your soul. Rage, confusion, competition is what outsiders observed. Shame, intimidation, and frivolity is what you have learned. But yet, I call to you, beautiful young one. I yearn to you, phenomenal son, because we need you to be the one who answers him, the one who communes with God. You see, in your eyes, I see your spirit. It craves to align with the chronicled lifetimes of regality. You are not a gladiator. You are a warrior. You are master, ruler, king, husband, sire, friend, wise man. You, beautiful man, are the expression of your divine father. I am in you as you are in me, so please get this. I speak to you as a woman, yet I cannot be the queen that you need me to be until you rise up and take your throne. Rise up and walk, man. Rise up. Rise up as prophet and vision. Speak to your seed the mysteries of the ages. Rise up as king and dictate and design the world stages. Rise up as priest and divine the Eden of God's graces. In your eyes I see all of you. You are phenomenal by design, masterful by course, brilliant by source. I wait for you because all creation receives you.
Wow.
Amen.
Amen.
Beautiful.
Hallelujah. Wait a minute.
Praise God.
Amen. Praise
Amen.
The Lord. Hallelujah. Beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful. Yeah, you Thank shared you. That with me before, and I believe you're having that set to music, right?
Yeah, we have a whole CD compilation called Intimacies, Meditations, and Inspirations.
Mm. And you wrote that.
I wrote that, and the music was actually written by my brother, who won about 8 Grammys.
Wow. Your brother won 8 Grammys?
Yeah, I managed him for about 11 years.
Who is your brother? Who is this?
Kevin Dean. Yeah, we did Mary J. Blige several times and Will Downing and several other artists working together.
So he writes.
He's a phenomenal artist.
Wow.
Phenomenal artist as a musician and writer. And we've actually separated for about 7 years. I managed him and retired from secular music. And then God is sort of maneuvering it where we're both in our place, our calling, in our purpose, working together.
Amen.
On
Amen.
This project in particular. So it's a blessing and it's very humbling.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Well, that is a beautiful and peace and peace. And I know it was God inspired. And we're looking forward to the CD. So keep us abreast of that
Amen.
Project.
Well, I will.
Now, I wanted to talk about Roe versus Wade. You know, that's a big issue with the race, the political race.
Mm-hmm.
The political race. That's a big issue, Roe versus Wade, abortion, a woman's right to choice.
Mm-hmm.
What do each of you feel about that particular issue?
Well, abortion by itself, you know, whether
yeah,
it's...
Yeah, abortion, and should Roe versus Wade be overturned?
Well, I guess what? The young lady that is involved in the Roe versus Wade platform that they made a decision for and about in reference to the abortion crisis is a born-again Christian right now.
Yes,
McCarthy. And she wants the decision overturned.
Yes.
She
yes.
wants the decision overturned, but it's a conversation that people are afraid to have. I mean, I work with CareNet, which is CareNet.org, and I'm an advocate and a speaker for them in reference to abortion, the crisis of abortion, in particular in the black community, because we consider it a genocide. We kill more of our babies than ever, than any other race.
Mm.
So it's something that is very passionate to me in my heart because I personally had an abortion as a young person. And did not know what I was getting into until I was sitting on the table because it was presented to me as if it was not a big deal and it's just
right.
an issue and it's not, it doesn't
exactly.
really matter. And then you're sort of laying there by yourself and they leave you there like, you know, they just picked up their few hundred dollars, they left you there, and then you finally see what's happening with your child that's leaving your body. It's the most painful, lonely experience that most people don't even know how to voice or talk about because it's okay.
Wow. Wow, and that's so, so poignant because the lady's name is Norma McCorvey, and she actually was 21 years old. She was 21 years old, a confused young girl pregnant with her third baby
mm-hmm.
when they dragged her into the court to make her a plaintiff, one of the lead plaintiffs for this right to choice, Roe versus Wade. So she is Jane Roe. Jane Roe is what... Her, they called her back then to mask her identity, and she was confused. She had been abused and physically and emotionally abused as a child. She had been raped. She had been she had experimented with drugs and alcohol. She had had a tough life, and here she was pregnant with this third child. The first child was raised by her mother. The second child was raised by the child's father. And here she was pregnant with this third child, and she wanted to have an abortion, or so she thought. But she has never had an abortion. Isn't that amazing? Over 50 million children killed as a result of this ruling, and the woman who is was a big part of it coming into existence has never even had an abortion. And from her mouth, she says that she doesn't think she would have.
Mm-hmm.
Even though she became the lead plaintiff in this case, and now she is a born-again Christian. She's
Amen.
A Roman Catholic. She's been baptized, and she wants. She's a pro-lifer. She is a pro-lifer
spoke,
now, and she wants this thing overturned.
She spoke at one of our meetings, and I sat there, and I listened to her story, and I realized that she represents not just the decision that was litigated, but the spirit of murder that was released there. She was hoodwinked like we were in school when they came
yeah.
to our schools and said that it was okay, it's your power to choose. And actually what I speak on, my soundbite, is the black woman's choice and the fact that it's really sort of targeted in the black community, abortion, very hard. And we kill, like I said, we statistically, not just, you know, summarization, we kill more of our babies. We have the least amount of live births in the black community. So when I sat there and I listened to her, and she said that she literally was tricked into this. And I said,
wow.
She was tricked, and she's the forerunner, quote-unquote, the branding face on this movement. And I felt like I was tricked. But I felt like there was nowhere I could go to speak to anyone because everybody was tricked and believed it because there was a huge system around it,
right.
The whole medical system around it. So people would just tell you to get over it. And it wasn't until I sort of walked through my marriage and I miscarried that the guilt came up, that saying, maybe I caused this to happen because I aborted
yeah.
a baby. Maybe I did this to myself, you know? And then I found CareNet, and they have a counseling service, post-abortion stress syndrome that
wow.
they deal with. And
wow.
it was so freeing. It was so freeing to me to talk about it because it was murder. That's the only way I can put it.
Right.
When I looked at my babies that was here, I could choose all day long. because they said, girl, you have your education, you have this, you have that. Don't, you know, you can't do this to yourself. And then the Lord blessed me to work with some entertainers, prominent entertainers in the industry who were on the decision of aborting, and just intervene and say, that baby has the right to be here, and it will bless you, not curse you. And they had the baby.
I agree. Even if you don't keep the baby, and I want to talk to someone who might be pregnant right now. And Liz Poppins, did you have something on this?
No, I'm good.
Yeah, I want to talk to someone who might be pregnant right now, and you're considering an abortion. You don't have to have an abortion. You can actually give that baby up for adoption.
Amen.
You know, you can. You don't have to fall into the trap, because if you go to Planned Parenthood or a lot of these places and you're a young girl and you're pregnant, they give you a list of abortion clinics and tell you to call one of these people and go and take care of it. It's amazing. They don't even talk to you
about
the
your
option.
Other option.
Yes,
that's
about
right.
The option for life. And I don't know if they do now, but back in the day, they didn't. They did not talk to you about the option
for life. They came to the schools with that for the young girls, and they still do. CareNet is a crisis pregnancy center that will give them all the whole discussion.
So go to CareNet. Go to Google. Go to CareNet.org and check out your other options. God knows life begins when God decides that he's going to plant that seed in the woman's womb.
Mm-hmm.
So it does not begin. God says, before you were even in your mother's womb, I knew you, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to realize that God already knows the plans he has for you and the plans that he has for your child. So if you're pregnant and you're wondering if you should just go ahead and have an abortion, I'm just going to encourage you to have the baby. Bring life. It's such a blessing to be able to bring life into the world. And if you have already had an abortion, like you heard my sister Tina testify, then I just want to say to you today that there is no condemnation. Romans 8:1 says that there is no condemnation to those in Christ Jesus. And God says, I will remember your sins no more. God says, your sins have gone into the sea of forgetfulness. So you don't have to stand and be held hostage to your past. And I'm talking to anybody out there right now that has a past. Do you have a past today? My God.
Hallelujah. Amen.
My God, we all have a past.
Yes.
So I'm talking to everybody who has a past today. Your past does not dictate to your future.
Hallelujah. Amen.
God dictates your future. He already has the plan. So I want to encourage you to do is let go of the baggage from your past. Let go of the fact that you made some mistakes, that you had an abortion, that you were a prostitute or a go-go dancer. I'm talking to the women right now.
Hallelujah.
Let go of the fact
Amen.
That you were raped or that somebody left you standing at the altar. It happened to me.
Hallelujah.
So you let go. Let go of the fact that you were molested. Let go of the alcohol and drug usage history that you may have. Let go of the divorce. Some of us are divorced.
Mm-hmm.
And we're still here harboring pain, and we have issues because of the things that occurred in our past. And God is saying to you today, let it go. Let him heal you. Let
yes,
him heal
God.
You.
Hallelujah.
God wants to heal your past so that you can move forward to the brilliant future that he has already set in place for you. God
Amen.
Has already set a brilliant future in place for you. And all that you have to do is lay aside the weight that so easily besets you. Lay aside the weight of your past and run forward into the arms of the ever-loving God.
Amen.
My God.
Yes.
It's not over until God says it's over. And guest 297, welcome. God bless you. It's not over until God says it's over. Your life is not over just because you made some mistakes. You still can be God's leading lady. All you have to do, like Pastor Anthony said, is be a woman of God.
Amen.
Line up with the will of God.
Amen.
And you are God's leading lady. It don't matter what you did.
I don't care.
I don't care how many times you did it. God is not looking at how many times you did it, who you did it with, or how you felt when you did it.
Mm-hmm.
God is not concerned about that. What he's concerned about is now.
Amen.
Right
amen.
Now, what's going on with you now? So don't get all caught up in the okie doke, because people will come from your past and say, well, wasn't you the one? And didn't you used to?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then you tell them, yeah, I was the one. And you're right, I used to.
Amen.
You had to put the finger, just start wagging that finger. I used to. But I don't do that no more. I did. I repented. God forgave me. I've been forgiven
Jesus.
Of my sins.
Thank you,
and it's
Lord.
A new day. It's a new day, because now I'm being used mightily of the Lord right here, right in the now.
Yes.
Whether you're in the pew or the pulpit,
whether
you're a preacher, a prophet, or
Hallelujah.
A person who loves the Lord with all your heart, mind, and soul, strength, you got to live right now. It's in the now. Don't get caught up. Don't let people get you caught up. I had somebody tell me last week, well, you were all messed up, and now you're taking advantage of your position and making people feel bad about being messed up. I said, I thank God for Jesus. I said, I was messed up, and I tell everybody my testimony. I do not hide my testimony, but let me tell you, I will not let you. God, Jesus said, I don't condemn you.
Mm-hmm.
I don't condemn you. When the woman was caught in adultery, Jesus said, Who are your accusers?
Who
are
they?
Where are they?
Where are they?
Let him who was out sin cast the first stone, and they
Hallelujah.
Buried. They got out of there. So Jesus said, they don't condemn you, neither do I. And I put a twist on that. I said, Jesus does not condemn me, neither shall you, neither can you.
Amen.
Because I will not be condemned.
Hallelujah.
So we're on fire, and we're just about empowering the women of God.
Amen. It's a beautiful thing, a beautiful thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So be empowered today. You know, just be empowered today. We're going off the air in 9 minutes. And we just came by to let you know that God loves you. You know, God really, really loves you.
Amen.
And we're three different women. We don't walk three different paths.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If we could tell the story, our stories probably are pretty much the same.
Yes. Hallelujah.
And the victory, the end is definitely the same.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes. Yes.
Amen.
Because we have the victory.
Yeah.
We got the victory.
Amen.
We have the victory. And we're here just to pull you and to exhort you, to encourage you that you can have the victory too, that no weapon formed against you can prosper.
That's right.
And it's not just a talk that we talk, but what is it? It's a walk that we walk.
Amen.
And, you know, and we walk it blindly.
Hallelujah. Yes.
Knowing that without God, we can't do nothing.
Amen.
We can do nothing. I love that scripture, Pastor Rebecca. No weapon formed against you can prosper.
Yeah.
What I really love about that scripture is when he says, "In every tongue rises up against you, you shall condemn it. For I have designed the waster to destroy the enemy." I love that scripture because he said, "No weapon formed against you will prosper." Right. And then he said, "People are going to talk some stuff. But don't worry about it. I got something for them." Don't worry about it, baby.
Yeah.
Abba got something for them.
Jesus.
Just knowing that I am with you.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah, and check this out. What people say about you does not make that true. It does not
make it
necessarily true, because people are always going to rise up and have something to say about you, especially when you're on purpose for the Lord.
Right.
But you have to guard your heart. Don't let bitterness and a spirit of defense
Jesus.
Set in.
Amen.
And guard your heart and be walk in love and know who you are. You better know who you are in
That's
this day
key.
And time.
That is key.
Yes.
It's a beautiful thing, because, you know, for years, you know, sometimes you can walk and not know who you really are, but when God begins to reveal to you that I am one of his leading ladies, I tell you, he will enlighten you and let you know your worth.
Yeah.
So if you don't value your worth, people won't value your worth.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. You train people how to deal with you.
Exactly.
Train them how to deal with you. And the one thing I like to tell my baby, my little one, because she's at that tween age, it doesn't matter what people call you, baby. It's just what you answer to.
Amen.
That's it. But you have to know, and that's the shame of it is that so many people suffer from low self-esteem.
That's it, Pastor.
Because they don't know how God esteems them.
Yes.
You know, we don't, I suffer from low self-esteem until I realize how God esteems me,
mm-hmm.
that he regards me highly, that he
yes.
that I'm the apple of his eye, that I'm etched in the palm of his hand.
Amen.
You know, that
yes.
he has
yes.
his eye on me, that he's watching me, and he's with me. He loves me enough to spend every waking hour and every hour that I sleep with me, because
Amen.
He said, never will I leave you, nor will I forsake you. So God esteems me highly, and that gives me my value.
Mm-hmm.
Not self-value, not self-esteem, but God esteem.
Amen.
The esteem
Amen.
That God has for us. So you are somebody. Who out there needs to hear this?
Jesus,
you are
hallelujah.
Somebody.
Mm-hmm.
You are somebody. We just came by to tell you that you are somebody.
Amen.
In Jesus, in Christ Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And even people who are mourning today.
Yeah.
A lot of times, you know, we have the mourning that's necessary, because there are loved ones and we miss them. That's
mm-hmm.
the bottom line. We just miss them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's confusing as to the events that transpired. But some people literally are saying, they are my everything. They were my everything.
Yes, you do hear that.
Well,
mm-hmm.
no, God is everything.
Yes, yes.
And you have a value because you're still here. You're still here and life is still moving. So you are somebody because Christ said so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Jesus says so.
Yeah.
God says so. The Word says so. The Spirit of the Lord will give you witness that it is true.
Yes.
That you are
yes,
somebody.
He will.
Mm-hmm. And it's not, like Pastor Rebecca said, a self-esteem. It's a Christ esteem. When you realize it's not me pushing through my effort, who is the hope of getting this done. No, it's Jesus Christ, the hope of glory.
Yes.
It's
Amen.
His Spirit on me, in me, and upon me. That is the Christ in me.
Mm.
That is the hope of glory. His Spirit just saturating me. His
yes.
Word inside of me bubbling up from reading and studying and muttering and meditating.
Yes.
And then constantly being in fellowship with people with a like mind and a like spirit.
Praise God.
So that you can be supported and fed. Then one day you wake up, that pain that was there, yeah, you still miss them. Yeah, that thing happened and it still gives you that twinge when you remember it. But you're able to move forward in
yeah.
power because you're still here. You can breathe in and breathe out and say, I'm here, Lord.
Amen.
Amen. And that's so important that we get the realization of who we are.
Amen.
But even more importantly, that we get the realization of who God is.
Yes.
You know.
Amen.
Oh,
Amen.
And how much he loves us. B. Caesar is in the chat room. God bless you. And B. Caesar says that, I also think the reason so many Christians walk around defeated is because they don't know or have a revelation of how much God loves them.
Mm-hmm.
He loves them as much as he loves Jesus.
Mm.
And that's just so important for us to know the love of God, the love of
oh,
God.
Yeah.
If somebody even walked out, there are women out there who they lost anybody to death, but they lost someone out in a relationship.
Yeah.
And maybe it was a man that you just put your whole world around.
Mm-hmm.
And God is saying, I want to first and foremost be your whole world.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
he's saying, I love you better than any man can love you.
God
yeah. is saying, I love you so much that I got the right man stored up for you.
Mm.
One who
yes.
can appreciate you. One
Jesus.
Who can value
yeah.
you.
Mm.
One who can treasure you
yes,
the way that you need to be treasured.
Mm.
So don't let your heart be discouraged, says the Lord.
Amen.
God has so much better for us. He really does. He has so much better for us, and that's my cell phone going
Hallelujah.
On. And we just have to walk in it. We just
mm-hmm.
have to walk in the plan of God and walk in that love. There's nothing like the love of God.
Amen.
You know, don't give nobody your mind. Don't give anyone your world.
Mm-hmm.
Don't put your world on no man. I'm talking to the women right now.
Yeah.
Don't put your world, don't make no man, and I know it's not
your
grammatically
plan.
Correct.
Amen.
Don't make no man your world. Don't give no man your mind. My
Hallelujah.
Husband said he can get your mind. He can get anything else he wants to get from you.
That's so true, Pastor.
Mind,
true.
Mm.
True.
So we have
you
to
know,
be
I
careful.
Like, amen. And a man is not a plan.
A man is not a plan. Amen.
A man
and we love men.
Plan.
I mean, I tell you, I believe in marriage. This is don't start sending me no email trying to get with none of the girls on this panel. This panel is a woman. We love men.
Yes.
We love it, and we are wives waiting. Some of us are already married.
Mm-hmm.
I'm married. Prophetess is
waiting. Not married, yeah.
And her husband's going to find her real soon. And Tina Boyce,
hallelujah.
What's your status, divorce. Tina?
Divorce.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
So
praise
we
divorce.
And we love marriage, and we love marriage. And we're going to talk about that a little bit later. We're going off the air.
Amen.
We're going off the air, but it's been a blessing to be here, everybody.
Yes.
10 seconds, Prophetess, 10 seconds, Tina, and we'll go on out of here.
Amen. I've been blessed. This has been a blessed broadcast.
Amen. Few words, but great power. This
hallelujah.
Come to the conference. You're going to see confidence in action. Few words, but great power.
Hallelujah.
Go ahead,
bless
Tina.
You, Pastor.
Well, all I can say is just, you know, love the Lord and be, because that is the true blessing. The true blessing of God is that you can receive His love and be refreshed every day, every moment, and that will make it clear. His word, worshiping Him and loving Him, it makes it all clear, and the pain does go away after a while.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. And this is Pastor Rebecca signing out. We love you, and God loves you too. And we want you to know that we're here for you. You can email me at powerintheword1@yahoo.com if you need prayer, if you need counsel. And we are here for you because that's how much God loves you. We'll see you next week right here on Woman to Woman. God bless you, ladies.
God bless everyone.
God bless you.